Good morning. We are live. So it's good to see everybody online this morning. Faith Springs Baptist Live, and welcome to the church. And we are experiencing our last, I'll tell you what, last Sunday in 2020 is going to be today. So we're going to just blow out this year and hang on for next year to be one of the best years we've ever had. Hello, Bernice.
Hi, Bernice.
We're going to sing one Christmas song, just open up, and that'll be the last Christmas song. It'll be Joy to the World, so just sing along with me as the other people get in from the parking lot, and feel free. Here we go, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world.
Positive if things aren't positive around you. And I think this song tells you that. You praise him all the day long. During the morning hours when you're feeling good, the midnight hours when you're feeling tired, when things aren't going the way you are in your own life expectancy. And I think this goes well with that song.
When peace like a
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that everything has to be perfect in your world. It means that whatever's going on in your world, your soul is anchored in Him. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about in the message this morning. How do we get peace in the middle of a life that's not full of so much peace? Sometimes Christmas is a tough time for people. And we're going to try to pull out within us and within the Word. How can I get through? How can I, even though things aren't well around me, be able to say, Lord, within my soul, it's still okay. And that's what we're after. Appreciate you all being here this morning. And thank you for sharing the last Sunday of the year with us. And thank you for all those that came Christmas Eve. We had a lot of good comments from people online. And we appreciate everybody being with us that night. That was a good night. We had a pretty good crowd. We had more than 10 in here. No, we had a good crowd. I had set up chairs, but that was wonderful. Thank you for that. We're going to have, let me go through if we have any announcements, first of all, and see what's going on. I think this will be probably the last week or two, maybe, of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So if you have not given to that, it's on the last page of your little handout, and the envelopes and everything are right on the counter right there behind Nancy. And if you want to give, you feel free to do that, or just simply put it on your check in the memo. Understand that we're getting ready to go into the new year, but Saturday, January 2nd, Philip and Monica are going right into read through the Bible again in 2021. This will be the third or fourth time we've done that. Maybe third or fourth? Third time. So this is just awesome. I hope everybody gets involved in this. And all the ID numbers and the Zoom numbers and everything are in here. And then on the Women's Bible Fellowship, are they having this? Is that getting ready to start up? January 7th? Okay. Well, this is the BSF? Right? Okay. It'll be online. And there's everything here right now. They're still doing online, but they will come into the building just as soon as we got the clearance to do that. So I think that's about all the announcements we have. Reminding you that as the ushers come forward, if you want to come on down, guys, this is the last Sunday before the new year. If you have any kind of year-end giving that you need to take care of, consider the church. We would appreciate that. Have that in before midnight on New Year's Eve, so Glenda can have a postmark by then, or bring it by the office or whatever, and work out an arrangement with them. There's three or four different ways you can do that, and it's in there online or in the plate, or drop it by the office or mail it or whatever. But may God bless you as you give. And I think as we go into next year, I'm hoping we won't be too much longer before we get into the building, but I don't want to give you false hope like I have the last 3 years. We are getting closer, right, Jack? They are going to be talking about the kids' side now is completely done. The flooring is all done on the side with the exception of the border, and that's going to be done, I believe, tomorrow morning. And so the children's side, all the upstairs is done. Next week, we're hoping to have sprung here so they can cut. We need to cut four holes into the building where HVAC can hook up their huge vents into the building. And nobody wants to cut into that building. It scares them. They're afraid that it's going to pop and fly off like a balloon, I guess. I don't know. But it won't, I guarantee you. And going to do that. I know Garland and the plumber and Jack and Mike and all those people that are involved with that are working on getting a line underneath our parking lot, all the way underneath the parking lot, and then cut off a piece of the highway out front. And make everybody in the neighborhood really loving us, because we're going to go down to one lane traffic for a while until we get that done to tap into the water line. And then we're also on the other side, on this side of the golf course, we'll be running the sewer lines. So we have two lines to come into, and that'll be hopefully within the month is kind of what we're shooting on with that. And we're working on getting the floors polished for the remaining portion of the floors. I think that's, besides that, nothing's going on out there. The stairs will be done. They're going to do one stair so we can look at it.
If you're interested in saying, hey, I have to know what those stairs look like, I have a picture. We picked out some nice gray wood, dark wood, that the stairs will be lined with. And they'll put that in maybe this week, but they're going to get the border done, then do the stairs. And then they're going to start cutting the holes in the doors of all the, every door in that building will have holes with glass in them because we don't have a solid wood door. This should not be like this. We shouldn't have any solid wood doors in any building, church building doors. With kids in the building, you want to protect the kids. So everything needs to have a glass hole in the door. So we're going to have that done here probably in the next couple of weeks too. Besides that, that's it. A lot of stuff going on. Obviously, when that's done and we have the water lines run, then we'll start talking about the parking lot. And if anybody's got spare change, we need all the spare change we can get to run a parking lot, if you know anything about concrete. So that's it, as much as not having a business meeting, but that's all the wisdom I know. And Jack, I'm not holding anything back or saying something that ain't true, am I? I think that's all right so far. I may lie about some stuff, but not worth lying about that, because it's been 3 years. But you know, I can't wait. I think it's going to be fun. I think once we get in there, I think it's going to be really fun to barrel through this wall. I think that'll be fun. I think we need to get a whole bunch of guys. We'll just run through it. Okay. And see how far. When we'll let you lead that pack. No, I'm not. I think that'll be a good time. That'll be fun to be able to barrel through that and go into the new building. Looking forward to that. So thank you for your giving, your support, your prayers. Keep on praying. We battle every week with something on that. There's always a hiccup, a speed bump, a hurdle. And now we're getting ready to get the city back involved to make sure we have everything done to be able to get permitted, because we have to have an occupancy permit for all of that. So I'm not completely white-haired yet, but Jack and I both, well, Jack won't have any hair when this is over, and mine will be all white. So we're getting close. Okay, Gilbert, we're going to ask you if you would just come on up here and bless the offering, and may God bless you as you give, and to all the ministries they go to.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and this wonderful gathering. And Father, we just come exalting your almighty name and just giving you all the praise and honor and strength and power, because it all belongs to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this time. And I just ask that you would just be with us, open our hearts and our minds, our spirit to your spirit, Lord, and allow us to leave all the distractions outside and to listen to your word through our pastor. And Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings you brought this year. And even though many of them have been negative, but we know, Lord, that you work in all things for the good. And we thank you for that. And I just ask that you would also bless these offerings and this gifts. We know, Lord, that everything belongs to you, and that pray that you just we will give with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God, when I, in all something about
some of those for Christmas. You know, and the reason I did the ones that deal with the name is because I believe Christmas Eve, we had a couple gentlemen stand up and read the scripture. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And Michael and Curtis did such a good job with that. If you want to turn into your Bibles, we're going to talk a little bit about. Go ahead and turn in Isaiah. We'll be in Isaiah. We'll be in Luke. We'll be in Romans. We're going to be a little bit everywhere. But I'm going to be out of the NLT today, New Living Translation. I've been kind of jumping in on that and enjoying that one. But it'll go right along with whatever version you have. You know, one thing that is going on just last couple of days. A bomb in Nashville. From my son, is that? I haven't heard from Matt. I hope he's okay. He won't answer his phone. So, you know, kids do that to you sometimes. Matt, if you're watching.
Their phone system's been down. Yeah. The whole city's down.
Oh, is it? Okay, that could be. That could be. Okay, I'll give him a break. Because he does have, when the system's not down, it too. So, you know. And then up in our home state, Illinois, Rockford had a shooting, killed a couple people. You know, let's face it, peace is in short supply today. It's just hard to find peace. And I have a feeling that a few of you, as we go into a new year, and as you've just experienced Christmas, some of the stuff that is so unrestful and so much not at peace in our world. Then we have so many things that's not at peace in our home. Whatever that is, and you all have your own stories, I'm sure. And then let's break it down into personally. I think some aren't at peace within themselves of whatever's going on. And it's hard. Sickness, uncertain future, difficulties, financial issues. I don't even like the word anymore. I don't think I ever did. COVID. I mean, there's so many things going on that sometimes peace is almost like a fairy tale, a myth. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Peace to you too. But according to Christmas, Isaiah 9, chapter 6, you've heard this. If you want to turn there, go ahead and find it. But I want you to circle a little phrase, if you would, because we're talking about peace today. Because the very thing that we're upset about now, the very turmoil and unrest and stress and pain and agony and hurt and anxiety and all of that stuff, fear, whatever it is, all of that is the very reason that Jesus came into this world. He was to offer in his presence, in his coming, in his advent, that one word among many, but the one word that we're focusing on today, peace. Isaiah 9:6, if you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There it is. Underline it, circle it. No matter what you're going on, is going on in your life right now, he is your avenue, your vessel, your highway, your internet spiritual connection to peace. That is it. Nothing else in this world can give it to you. Yep. Only him. He came so we could experience his peace in us. Even that night outside Bethlehem, when the angels announced to the shepherds, Jesus is coming. He's here, the arrival and the reality of his peace. Luke 2 in the Christmas story that we've read a couple times this month. But Luke 2, write it down, 13 and 14, goes like this. Suddenly an angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth. You catching that? There was a reason that they threw that in there. Peace on earth. Now, it didn't just say glory to God in the heavens and peace, may heaven abound. It said peace on earth because of his presence on this earth. We're going to get the ability to be able to tap into peace. Now, I don't know. This just comes to me. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's the barbecue spicy Pringles that I had at 2 o'clock this morning for a snack that's kind of messing my mind up. I don't know, but it's one of the two. You just think about what we're fixing to do on this water line. We have the entire, Jack, I don't know, how many inches is the city water line? Do you know? It's pretty big, right?
24 inches.
20? Okay, that's a big one. Okay, so we on the other side of the highway, we have access to all the water that we want. We can run every line that we want to from this building, the new building out there. But until we tap in to that, we get absolutely zero water until we tap into it. Folks, you have so many lines of communication, so many lines of relationships, so many lines of church groups and social groups and Lions clubs and all of this. And you get right out to the very line that has all the potential to give you a 24-inch blast of peace, and you won't tap into it. You say, "What? I'm close enough. I'm in the neighborhood. I can smell it, and I know it's there. And if I ever need it real quick, I'll tap into it." That would be absolutely crazy, would it not? For us to spend all the money and effort and time and energy to run it all the way across, even through the highway, on the other side of the highway. But when we get to it, go, we're close enough. For a second, people have come into church year after year after year after year and never tapped into the Prince of Peace. Never tapped into it. You think you're close enough. I don't know if that illustration made sense to you, but it sure works with me. It's time to tap into the vast amount of unlimited peace. Does that mean spiritually everything's going to work once we get into that? Makes no sense. If we tapped into the water line, does that mean that every toilet's going to flush all the time? Or does that mean every now and then, Amy, you're going to have to go to the urinal and kick that thing so it'll shut down, right? Like you did at school the other day. Kick it so hard till it finally shut down because the floors were just flooding. Does it mean that there'll be times that things won't work and that something gets cut off and we just don't tap into it, or something happens and it breaks up that relationship that we had once? No, that doesn't mean anything like that. It just means we have the potential to tap into the Prince of Peace. And I want to show you how to do that today. I want to show you that not to finish the Christmas story without having the ability this very day. Don't wait another day, this very day, to tap into the peace. Jesus came so we could experience peace. Who could use a little more peace today? Hello. I'm getting ready tomorrow to go and be cleansed. Matter of fact, on the way home today, I will buy the 2 bottles of the cleanser. Because this week I go through all my tests, and I told them while I'm laying there, do everything that you're going to do, because I'm not going to keep coming back. Just do it and do it and do it. And so first of all, you have to be cleansed. I don't know about you, but that doesn't bring me much peace. But even no matter what happens on the other side of all the scraping and cutting and things they pull out of there and look at and send off and probably, I don't know, probably place on Facebook for everybody to say, hey, look at the inside of Greg here, whatever. Whatever they're going to do, there's peace. There's peace. And God has that peace for you. And he wants you to experience that. So how can, as we have about 18 minutes, how can we experience the peace that Jesus came to bring? I'm glad you asked. Number one, write it down. Faith in Jesus creates God's peace in you. Faith in Jesus creates God's peace in you. Romans 5:1. I know you're all saying, no, wait, that doesn't make sense. No, here we go. This is right out of the word. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we now have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. This is life-changing. This is worth getting out of bed and putting your britches on this morning, okay? Peace with God precedes peace from God. Peace with God has to come first before you get peace from God. We have to have a peace with Him before we can ever expect to receive the peace that God has for us. We first must have peace with Him. Why do we need peace with God? Because Jesus came to deal with the barrier to peace. That's what Jesus came for. Don't believe me? Romans 8:7. For the sinful nature is always hostile towards God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It's pretty tough to have peace with someone who's hostile towards you. How can we have peace with God when we're sinners? And it says that because of the sin, it's hostility towards God. The only way to buffer that up is to receive the loving forgiveness that Jesus Christ came to give, to offer the hostility to be removed. Then we can have peace with God. It's not so many things that we do. It's not giving so much of your salary, your income, or your time, or your energy. It's about giving your heart and your life and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the answer, because our sin causes us to be hostile towards God, whether you like to admit that or not. And I know some of you say, well, Greg, can't you just kind of cool down on that? I'm not hostile towards God. If you commit sin, which we all do, I do. It says in Scripture, it's hostility towards God. I have to have a Savior, a Forgiver, a Prince of Peace to bridge that gap. That's what it's all about. Isaiah 59:2. It's your sins that cut you off from God. Ouch. You thought it was your upbringing. You thought it was the bad choice of a church that you had. You thought it was for what your mom or dad, you know, they did whatever. And you thought it was all that. No, it says right there, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. And because of your sin, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. That's the dilemma that Jesus came to address. And Jesus came to reconcile the world back to God. They were experiencing all this turmoil. They're experiencing all this stuff. I don't know what to do. Kill another lamb. I don't know what to do. Sacrifice another cow. I don't know what to do. And there was just bloodshed everywhere. They couldn't find the peace. They couldn't go to bed at night and go, wow, I feel
so much better. I feel redeemed. That's why in the darkest of nights, Jesus came in and said, now all you have to do is believe in me and I'll reconcile you back to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Whew. Woo, doggies. That's the entire point of the Christmas story. That's why the angels announced, he's here. Peace on earth now. You're going to get to experience it. That's why in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord's done for us. He did more than just show up in a manger scene. He died on the cross in our place. The manger scene was just the beginning. That was where we tap into the peace. And then because of his love and sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection in an empty grave, we get to experience a victory over sin. Number two, hang with me, don't fall asleep too much. Got a couple more minutes, so we're all right. Number two, a lifestyle of peace will create God's peace in you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Dear brothers and sisters, I'll close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage one another. Live in harmony and peace. Now there's a key word here. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Then the result is the choice of having the God of love and peace be with you and be lived through you. Living in peace means we choose a pathway of peace. You can't live in peace and slander people, gossip, hold on to grudges, judge people, never forgive them for anything they do, being selfish, being stingy, demeaning others, criticizing others, unwillingness to listen to anybody else's different viewpoint. All of those things creates a lifestyle that will uproot peace in your life without a doubt. And a lifestyle has to be a peace which creates God's peace in you. Peacemakers reject the behaviors that destroy peace. And they embrace the behaviors that build peace. When in doubt, you ready? When in doubt, love. When in doubt, love them. Love through it. Living in peace means we also forgive people. That's hard. Living in peace means we also value differences. Can you imagine everybody being just one note? We all have the same voice. We're all in unity. But because we have differences, you start getting chords and you start getting harmony that works better and just beautiful. And you can say, wow, that's a lot better than just, you can hear the beauty in that. But then every now and then somebody and it messes up the whole concept of what harmony was supposed to be. And every time you have that unpeaceful thought in mind, it messes up what God had in store for what he wanted us to be able to have. To be able to have the togetherness. That means that just because I'm a G on the scale, doesn't mean that it doesn't blend in well with the C and the E. Doesn't mean that somebody with a higher view or a higher thought or a higher idea doesn't work up in here in the special higher. It means we all just join in together. We have that harmony together. And a lifestyle of peace gives us that ability to have God's peace in us. Whether you agree with it or not, we can agree to disagree. I don't want to be one of those E flat minor chords in there. I don't want to be one of those. But sometimes we do that. Do you have that Williams tongue to where you just mouth off and you go, oh, I wish I could take that back? Too late. You've already blown it. You've already blown the peace and the harmony. The last thing, and I'm done. Number three, prayer creates God's peace in you. Lifestyle of peace brings God's peace to you. Prayer creates God's peace in you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, don't worry about anything. And look at this. Instead, so if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're upset, you're unruly, so don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If we pray about everything, it becomes a lifestyle of prayer instead of a religious ritual. Because I want to promise you, a religious ritual will not give you one item of peace. Mm-hmm. You go through all that, go, it's supposed to. It was supposed to. Who told you that? Man did. What did God tell you? Pray about everything with me. Tell God what you need. And then thank him for all that he's done. So you not only pray as a lifestyle as a result of peace, when our prayers are needy, it's a result in peace. Tell God what you need. You heard today? You needy today? I don't think God's ever been surprised at our neediness. Now, there's a difference between a want and a need. You need rest. You need a break. You need peace. Right now, God, I can't do this on my own. Tell him what you need, exactly what you need. And then thank him for what he's done. No matter what position you're in right now, thank him for what he's done. And if you do that, look at the verse again, Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. No matter what kind of day you're having, no matter what kind of 2020 we had, thank God. Pray to him and say, I need this. And then I get kind of, I got to close my notes up or I keep going. I get kind of bent out of shape when people stand up and preachers and politicians and, oh, it was the worst year we've ever had. And the darkest days are yet to come. I want to tell you something. 2021 may be the best year you've ever experienced in your life.
And the only way to do it is to give God everything. Let him give you peace. Thank him through it. Pray through it. Be with him and say, Lord, I can't do this. You can. And allow his peace to be able to come and give it to you no matter what's going on around you. That was a Christmas story. That's the last thing I want to tell you on the last Sunday of the year. If you need peace, receive the Son. Tap into the power and let him flood your pipes with pure living water. Dear Lord, we come to you right now and I thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Lord, there's someone here right now that needs an extra dose, an extra blast of peace. Lord, let today be the day they call on you. Pray to you. Accept you. Thank you. Tell you their need. And trust that you'll take care of them. And then, Lord, may the quilt of your presence, of your warmth, of your peace, wrap them up and may you hold them close and whisper in their ear, peace, peace. We give you all the praise in advance. Lord, it's hard to thank you for 2020, but we do. But Lord, I can't wait to see what you have in store in the next year. May it blow our socks off. And we promise, Lord, to give you all the praise. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us today on Faith Springs Live. And we'll see you next week, 10 o'clock, next Sunday morning. God bless. Have an awesome week. Thank you all.